first thing I want to do is I want to pray for the Melvin Banks meetings. Let's just pray before we move even into this. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the Melvin Banks meetings. We thank you for people that are going to be touched, healed, delivered. There's going to be tremendous things happening in those meetings. We know that, Lord. That's under your will. We know that. And Father, we ask that we would be free in giving out these leaflets. We've got many printed. We've got many to hand out. Father, we ask that we would be able to hand these out to many, many people now. And you would continue to draw people into these meetings in Jesus' wonderful name. Thank you, Savior. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Well, let's have a look into the Word. Now, what we're going to do this morning, we're going to have communion afterwards. So I think we're going to have communion at the end, but the children are going to leave now. We may have communion at the end. We'll see how things develop, actually. But if we do, someone will come out and call the little ones. If there's recordings, which I hope there is, we can start with those now. Praise God. Well, brothers and sisters, I would like us this morning to have a look at abiding in Jesus. So come with me then, please. Let's just go to John 15. Let's go to John 15. Thank you, Lord. John 15, and I'm going to read from verse 15, no, I'm going to read from verse 1, John 15, verse 1, John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Are you listening so far? Now, let me just pause there and say this. When we come to the Word of God, we must never, ever read the Word of God lightly. Well, there is a tendency with Christians to just go into the Word of God and say, oh, I know this bit. Yeah, I know this one. Yeah. And what happens in our subconscious is we switch off. I mean, we've read it before, and now we're going to read it again, and, you know, oh, yeah, I know this, yeah. No! No, that's not the way it is. This is living. This is fresh. Every time we read this, the Lord has the ability to speak it fresh into us. This is the Word of God. This isn't the Sunday newspapers. This isn't some other literary book. This is the Word of God, and it's fresh to us as the Holy Spirit makes it fresh to us. It's new. And so now let's go to this and really take this in. What is the Lord speaking to us? I'm going to continue reading from verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. And just think, this is Jesus. Brothers and sisters, even before I go on here, let me just say this. We're living in days where the average church doesn't even speak about hell. It's a subject that no one mentions, it seems, in the main anymore. But I don't know where you stand on the subject. Let me tell you where I stand on the subject. I emphatically am convinced that there is a place called hell. I am totally convinced that there is a place called hell. I am convinced that the enemy has sought to discredit people from preaching against it, because if people really think that there might be, they may just listen more seriously to the words of Jesus. And so you have now people who are so-called ministers in churches, and they say they don't believe in hell. They try and intellectualize it away in some fashion or form. They have theological terms that excuse it away. In my opinion, anyone who considers their theories above the Word of God is a fool and ought not to be trusted with lighting the fireworks on Guy Fawkes Night, let alone with teaching the people of God the truths of Holy Scripture. The truth is that the church has gone down a road that has led people to be more comfortable. So that now, you know, if there's, let's say, a funeral, the minister stands up the front and, like the big hypocrite that he or she is, they say with a pious voice, they're in a better place now. I'm sorry, I don't believe that necessarily. I believe in the man who split history into BC and AD. And he warned that there was a place called hell. And he said, broad is the road, and many there are that go down into that place. And narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Try and find a church to preach that these days. My friends, listen. The truth, when we know it, sets us free. The truth sets us free to have the joy of the Lord and liberty. But I'm telling you this, the truth has steel in it. The real truth of the gospel is steel in it. There's supernatural, so to speak, strength in it that doesn't bend or is molded or soft. It doesn't, you know, wilt because of sentimentality or anything, or try to be nice to people. Now look, if there's someone, they weren't a Christian, and they die, let me say this. You or I don't know where they are. Because I am also convinced that in the last moments of someone's life, they may just turn to Jesus right there and then. So if you have family members or friends and they've died, let me tell you this. Don't lose hope. Never lose hope. Because they may just have turned at the last moments to the Lord. And you may not know about it. But they may have heard you talk about Jesus. They may have seen your life. And they may have just turned at that last moment. The thief on the cross is an example of one. But there are many others, I'm convinced. So you see, we've got to be wise and we've got to be careful. But here's the thing that we must be, above all else, faithful to the Word of God. So you see, we mustn't compromise to suit other people. You see, this is what the church has done. The church, a lot of the places now that meet on a Sunday morning and have fellowship together, it's not the church of Jesus. I'll just repeat that because it is a pretty provocative sentence. But it's not the church of Jesus. The church of Jesus is the ecclesia in the Greek, the called out ones, who've been called out of the world to follow Jesus Christ. And following Jesus Christ means we deny what we think and we pick up the truth that Jesus taught in the scripture. It's impossible to be a follower of Jesus Christ and not believe in heaven and hell. Impossible. There are millions of people who are deluded and believe they follow Jesus and they don't believe in heaven and hell. My friends, if you meet such a person, know this. You are talking to a deluded person. If you meet someone, there are many examples I could give. We mentioned some in the notices of such like, who think that they can compromise things and that are clearly in the word and that they are followers of Jesus. My friends, they're deluded people. They're not following Jesus. Baptism, the act of baptism, is an ancient act. And when we're baptized, you know, into Jesus, what it means is I deny myself and I now take on the truths taught by the man Jesus Christ. In ancient times, people would be baptized into many different people. Some would be baptized into Socrates, Plato. You could be baptized into anyone who you were convinced had something worth following. We are baptized into Jesus. And that is a testimony that we believe he has something worth following. Amen? And let me say this. The world out there doesn't need wishy-washy, half-baked truths, mamby-pamby Christianity. The world out there needs strong, Bible-believing Christians to stand for the truth. And look, if they look at me and they think, well, he's, you know, I don't know what to, I mean, or you know, some Christians, blessed darlings, you know, they think that when their friends then go away, they laugh at them. He believes in heaven. Hey, if they're laughing at me, that's great. That's fine. Entirely up to them. Let them do whatever they want. They mocked Jesus. They mocked him. They said, hey, come on. Hey, King of the Jews. He's the King of the Jews. Look at him hanging on the cross there. King of the Jews. Yes, they mocked. So they may well mock us. Well, let them mock. Sure enough, they'll find out because our life is like the morning dew. How wrong they were. Oh, they find out how wrong they were. I hope that they turn before that happens. But we see what Jesus is saying here. Let's read it out again. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. You see, it's not... My belief doesn't really matter. I mean, what is my belief? Your belief, what does it matter? There may be people here with very strong IQs, very great ability to think and puzzle things out according to other people, possibly. What does it matter? Who do we think we are? We're reading the words now of the man who split history in half into BC and AD. The man that when I take a coin out of my pocket and I look at the coin, it has a date on it. And the date is because of him. We're looking at the man here whose words have resonated through human history, whose words have shaped humanity for 2 millennia. Who was prophesied before the 2 millennia. This is who we're talking about. This is authoritative. I mean, we've got all of the so-called influential brains of Britain in a place called Westminster. Hey, look at the utter chaos. I mean, you know, are we really going to trust them with any serious ideas or laws or legislation on anything? Believe me, I mean, God bless them. We pray for them. We want the best for them. But do we think that they hold great integrity and ability and insight? Oh, please. I marvel at the lack of it. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In other words, if you're a disciple of Jesus, the inference is you're going to bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit because you're connected. You're not a branch on your own. You're not an individual on your own. It's not you and your ideas and your thing. No, you're part of this vine. You're connected to the root. And because you're connected to the root, the consequence of events means and necessitates you bear fruit. It's just a part of being in the vine. There's no pride in it for us. There's no great puffed upness that could come from it. We are incidental to it. It's just that we are connected to the root. We're incidental to that degree anyway. I mean, we're not incidental to the degree that God designed that we would be connected. But it's incidental as if it is nothing to do with us, our particular talents, or anything that we have. It's all about him and our connectedness to him. But this causes me to think. If I'm meant to bear much fruit, and if I'm to abide in him in order to bear much fruit, what does it mean then to abide? This is a key aspect of this. If this is what I'm called to, what does it mean to abide? Well, in the Greek, it means to sojourn, to tarry. It's the equivalent of not departing from. And I was thinking about this with regards to prayer. You know, we've been praying in the mornings for an hour. We've been praying in the evenings for an hour. And some days we've been praying in the middle of the days for a period of time. But those are set times. Now, the danger with set times is this. Now, you know, I'm all for it. I've been so happy to be a part of it. It's been a privilege. But the danger is this, that we equate those times then with a religious duty. And if we're not careful, times of prayer can become like a religious duty. We have to watch that. So people feel very good when they've been there. I've been there. More than you. This is what people are like. People are weak. And their weakness manifests. And then others feel, I haven't been there. Oh, I'm just a terrible poor me. Oh, I'm not. I just wish I could be a better Christian. I wish I could. You see, both are wrong. The truth is, if you can get there and be an encouragement to people and be part of it, praise God. If you can't, but you're abiding in him, that's all that matters. It's about abiding in him. Not about attending religious services. It's about abiding in him, you see? And so often, the religion of Christianity wants a little chart where we can say, oh, yes, I've been a very good Christian this week. Look, I've come. I tick the boxes. Yes, I've been there. I was at this one. I was at this. Oh, I feel it's been a good week for me. Christians, are they like that? People are like that, you know? They want to feel as if they've... But my friends, that would turn things back to works. We're not involved in that. So what this is saying to us is this. Abiding is this. It's a relationship with God that is more of, in fact, a fellowship. in terms of I'm abiding with him, and now I'm, because I'm abiding with him, I'm taking on his nature. I'm taking on his nature. I'm growing strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not because I'm saying I must be strong in the Lord and the power of it. No. I'm just spending time with him. I'm waking up in the morning. I'm saying, thank you, Lord Jesus, I'm alive. And I'm making up songs every day. And I'm singing to him always. And it's wonderful to give him praise. Oh, I'm making up songs to Jesus every day. I'm making up songs to Jesus every day. I'm abiding in him and all his ways. That causes me to make up songs to him every day. You see how it is? It just flows. We just flow like that. That's the Jesus that we know. That's the life that he's speaking of here. That's the abiding in him. I'm living in Jesus and walking with him every day. It'll make you happy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And living like this, and this kind of life is what he's called us to. So that when we pray, there's a sense of expectancy and joy, and there's life, and this is overflowing from us. You know, in some churches, they have this thing, you know, they say, put on the full armor of God. And you meet them, and there's a teaching that went around for a while. And it's funny, you know, they were teaching it, and they were having all these courses on it and everything. And then I just said one sentence, and it and the one sentence just stopped the whole thing. It was only one sentence. I'll share it with you. So they were having all these courses. In the morning now, you've got to get up. And you, what you do is you put on the shield of faith. Every morning, you fasten the shield of faith. And then they put the helmet on, you know, the helmet of salvation. And now they've got to put the belt of truth on. And every morning they would do, you know, every morning they do it. And so they were going into all this course. Really. And I just asked the question. I said, excuse me for asking. I know where it says to put it on, Ephesians 6. But I said, why do you ever take it off? Yeah, why do you ever take it off? You're not meant to take it off. You see how the church goes into these cliches? They have all these cliches. And they just, you know. Oh, I'm living in Jesus and celebrating every day. I'm worshiping Jesus and celebrating every day. Life with Jesus is A-okay. I'm living with freedom in Jesus every day. Anyone else make songs up? I mean, there's freedom in Jesus, brothers and sisters. I mean, there's liberty in the Lord. The scriptures teach there's liberty in the Lord. And there's power in that liberty, you know. There's no power in stiffness and dead religion. There's no power in that. The power's in the liberty of the Lord. That's where we find the liberty, you know, the power. It's in the liberty of the Lord. And he's called us now to walk in liberty. And there's freedom and clarity in the thinking then. I mean, it's just one sentence of clarity, and it stopped the whole course from being taught in those places. Saved them a lot of trouble. People getting up every day and doing all this, you know, God bless the darlings. you know, one clarity of sentence that sorted the whole thing out. Based on the word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, when 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is a verse that speaks to us of the prayer and abiding in him, and I have to think of this as a vital thing. It says, pray without ceasing. Well, how do we do that? We abide in him. And abiding in him is praying without ceasing. So that whatever we're doing, in fact, we can pray. Driving the car, coming here, going to the shop, Heavenly Father, what shall I do? Lord, you could be like this, for example. Lord, I've got one of these in my pocket to give out now. Who shall I give it to, Father? Just, Lord, if there's someone on the way, Lord, if there's someone on the route that I could give one of these to, who would it be? I'll just give it to them. And they may, you know, this happens often. If we just open ourselves to the Lord, he's just so quick to use us. So we open ourselves to him, we ask him that, and then you may find on the way to the shops, there's someone there, and you just have an inkling, oh, you know, I must give them this. And you go up to a stranger, you say, hello, you don't know me, but I just would like to give you this. I'm from the church there. I just want to give you this. You know, Jesus loves you. He loves you, and he cares for you, and he's got plans for your life. Amen. And if you say that to someone, it's amazing how open people are. If you've not said something like that to someone before, you'd be shocked at how open people are. I mean, really, people are really open for the gospel. You see, the Lord, you know, they can't outwit the Lord. And the way society has gone now, they're open to anything. But you know, with the Lord is smarter than them all. The Lord's cleverer than them all. They'll never outsmart the Lord. And so I think what the Lord does is he uses that then. He'll use all things for the benefit of his church and those people, the ecclesia. And so what he does is, I think, the openness in the society which has affected individuals now makes them very open to receive a tract and the good news of the gospel. So I just want to encourage us to do it. And then you see, this is part of the fruit of our lives. The fruit manifests from our lives. We spend time with him. We're spending time in him. We're yielding to his will. And the fruit just comes naturally. What happens with plants is, when a plant is meant to yield fruit, there has to be some aspects that are in place. It needs water. It needs sunlight. It needs certain things in the soil as well for it to be ongoing. But if it has those ingredients in place, then the plant will bear fruit. Those three ingredients in place. Well, now then, we need three ingredients in place for ourselves to bear fruit. And they're all about abiding in him. When we abide in him, we want to sing his praise. We just want to thank him and give him praise. When we're abiding in him, we do it every day. It's not a strain, a stress, or a chore. It just flows. It just flows. That's when we're abiding in him. That praise and worship flows. Here's the other thing that flows. That's one. Here's the other thing that happens. We want to go to him with the issues of our life. And we want to spend time with him. You know, we want to spend time with him. We want to just fellowship with the Lord. I tell you what, when a disaster is hitting, when something bad is going on, the illustration I gave earlier with that man who had phoned me in that terrible situation, I was very quick. I couldn't wait to get to prayer. Are you with me? I couldn't wait to get to prayer. I didn't want to watch television. I didn't want to have an ice cream. I didn't want to have anything else. I just wanted to spend time with God. I wanted to pray. And the more open our eyes are, the easier it is for us to run into prayer, I believe. I mean, our world needs people in prayer. Our society out here, we need people, needs people in prayer. So that's the second thing that leads to the fruit. It leads to the fruit. Prayer. Worship, prayer, and then studying the word. Now, you see, there's a big emphasis in churches now with worship. Everyone wants to worship all the time. They don't want to read the word so much and study. That bit's a little bit boring for many of them, but that's the bit that puts the steel into them. That's the steel, comes from the word, because what's in the word, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's understanding the word of God that causes the parameters of our life to be put in place. Once I know what the parameters of my life are, it becomes very easy for me to believe something with strength. Once I know that God has said something very clearly in his word, I'll believe it with strength. You see? But many Christians are a bit wishy-washy, flimsy, because they haven't studied the word. Not studying the word, so they're not sure. Well, it might be this. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's your business to know. It's your business to study the word. Oh, well, that's not me. I don't really, you know, that's just not the type. Make it you. Make it your business. Change. We sang the song earlier, Onward Christian Soldiers. I mean, who's, you know, if you're a soldier, you wouldn't, would you? You know, you just wouldn't say, well, look, Sarge, I'd love to go for a jog, but it's just not me. You know, and with the rain and everything outside, I just couldn't. But it's a lovely idea. Oh, it's a lovely idea. I tell you what, maybe tomorrow. Do you think, would that go down well? It's not going to go down too well. So what you do is you say, no, I'm a soldier in the army. I submit myself to the task of the army. Well, guess what this army says? Study to show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word. If it's absurd for a soldier in the army to behave in that way, how much more absurd is it for a Christian not to study the word of God? Absurd! How on earth do we think we could grapple with the issues of life and teach others to grapple with those issues if we don't study and show ourselves approved as workmen rightly dividing the word? This is the call of God. Precious darling is clapping me. Look at that. She's clapping me. You are a big encourager to me. Yes, you are. Look, she's encouraging me. She said yes and clapping. What a darling. Worship and praising God every day. I'm worshiping, singing praises every way. It's wonderful to believe in his holy name. Amen. So we've got the studying of the word. We've got prayer and worship. Like a plant that produces fruit needs the sun, water, and good soil. Three things. Three things we need: prayer, worship, studying the word. And then we produce fruit. A lot of Christians are saying, where it says, you know, love, we must love. What they do is they skip the things that lead to love. And they say, I'm going to love. I'm going to be a person of love. I'm going to be gentle. It says that gentleness is one of the fruits. I'm going to have gentleness. I'm a gentle person. And they're living like God, bent up and torn and twisted. Because gentleness doesn't come like that. Gentleness is reached through the pathway of studying the word, of being in prayer, and of worshiping God. You see how it works? The fruit follows the disciplined behavior. That's how it works. And I don't know about you, but when I read Jesus' words saying about abiding in him and fruit that follows abiding in him, I have an urgency to be making sure that I'm abiding in him and that there's fruit in my life. I'm sure you have the same urgency. I mean, you wouldn't be straight thinking if you didn't. Praise be to God. Brothers and sisters, it would be so nice if we were to close and call the little ones in, and we would close with a communion just at the front here. We will have a quick communion to close this service. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We worship you and praise you. Thank you.